Time now to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome. In a few moments, she'll be giving us a bird's eye view of this past week in the Vatican. Joan, let's begin with Sunday's Angelus, shall we?
You know, just looking back, though, at the whole week, we usually do begin with the Sunday Angelus, but this was such a full week. We could sit here and just list what the Pope did on Thursday, and we'd be halfway through the show. The Angelus, again, drawing, you know, record crowds to St. Peter's Square, and the Pope dedicated the Angelus, as he always does, really, to the readings of the day, to the reading and mainly to the Gospel. So, of course, last Sunday, it was the story of the blind man cured by Jesus. He said, the apostle, whose gospel this is, narrates the event in just a few words, really. It's his intention to attract attention not to the miracle, but to the questions it raises. And the Pope said, you know, many times a good act, in this case a healing, a work of charity, causes gossip and questions from people who don't want to know the truth. The cured blind man is interrogated by the astonished crowd, then by the doctors of the law, and nobody believes him. And even his parents, you know, tell that, yes, he was born blind and now he can see. But he gets faith. Through his healing, he attains faith, the highest grace that he receives from Jesus. So basically, even more important than being healed. Sundays are, unless the Pope goes to a parish in the afternoon, he's done that on occasion. And we learned from Cardinal Vallini the other day, the Cardinal Vicar of Rome, that when he first met with the then new Pope Francis, and the Pope was talking about visiting Roman parishes, Cardinal Vallini asked him to visit the parishes that had not yet received a visit from a Pope. That is what we are looking at. And John Paul visited, I mean, like, all but maybe 20 of the 320-something Roman parishes. Other than a parish visit, Sundays are quiet. I guess the Pope always is preparing for the next day, and in fact, on Monday was incredible. Monday, the Holy Father met the Salesians, and in talking to them, their founder, of course, Don Bosco, Don meaning Father Bosco, the Pope highlighted their work, which is a continuation of what Don Bosco founded, the charism of the order, for work with the young and schooling and education. And he highlighted Father Bosco's preventative system, which helps these young people in their commitment and living with them. He said it's necessary to prepare young to work in society in the spirit of the gospel as workers for justice and peace, and to live as agents of the church, which really isn't that what all of us have to do. Then on Monday, three canonization-related press conferences. There was one in the press office basically on preparations in Rome and in Bergamo, of course, where John the 23rd lived there, studied there, was born nearby in Sottomonte. In the afternoon, mid-afternoon, Sky satellite television and CTV, the Vatican television, had a presentation of what's going to be an amazing canonization day because there will be television in 3D. And so the Mass will obviously be seen around the world. And then the third press conference of the day was about the release of a book of Pope John Paul's poetry. Cardinal Vallini said that what he wanted to stress was the fact this is an event on spirituality and holiness. And 5 million faithful are expected in Rome. This is according to the Rome Task Force. Now, Father Lombardi for the Vatican said he was dealing mainly with the area around the Vatican. So St. Peter's Square, St. Pius XII Square before that, and then Via della Conciliazione.
Which right up to the Tiber.
Right up to the Tiber, which he said could accommodate 250,000. But we know right now they're going to be setting up mega screens all over Rome. We don't know the precise location yet, but millions are expected. I believe it's 1 million alone from Poland. And interestingly enough, just to mention for a moment, there was a priest, Father Della Vite, from Bergamo, from the Bergamo Diocese. They have three very interesting initiatives. Two initiatives from Bergamo regard Haiti and Albania charitable works that they are going to finance there. And then the third, they have asked all 900 priests of the Diocese of Bergamo to give a month's salary on Holy Thursday to the diocese in order to finance a lot of events. I mean, just think about the impact of that. Then Tuesday, of course, the Holy Father met with the heads of all the Vatican offices, the dicasteries, and basically there was no press release on everything that was being said. We do know that the Pope was asking the heads of the departments to discuss the reaction to and how are they implementing his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium. It takes us to Wednesday, to the general audience. There were more press conferences. One, I just have to say this in 20 seconds, there is an amazing exhibit on Bibles called Verbum Domini II.
In the Charlemagne wing, to the left of St. Peter's Basilica, of the left-hand colonnade.
This is a must, and folks, if you're in Rome, you're hearing this right now, and it's a very beautiful exhibit. I've forgotten the hours, but, you know, 9 to 6, 10 to 6, something like that. Except on Wednesday mornings, it's closed because of the audience. But speaking of Wednesday, Pope's audience, general audience.
The catechesis on the sacraments continued.
That was a day of two momentous things. His words on the sacrament of marriage, which were so beautiful. And Wednesday was April 2nd, which, of course, was the 9th anniversary of the death of Blessed John Paul, very, very soon to be St. John Paul. And the Pope did mention that at the audience. But he began by talking about marriage. And he told married couples they should never let the sun set on an argument. They must make peace, remembering to always say, three key words of his pontificate, to always say please, thank you, and sorry. He had very beautiful words to say about marriage, and he said, you know, the real wedding gift you get is the fact that your marriage is a reflection of the triune God. And the love among the triune God, it's a reflection of the Holy Trinity. And then, of course, the Pope joked, as he loves to do, and these are the sound bites you always remember. He said, you know, you don't need to call the United Nations to your home to make peace. He said, just a small gesture is enough, a caress, and tomorrow is a new day. And then he quoted, of course, Father Patrick Peyton, who said, and I think people around the world have quoted him for decades, the family that prays together stays together. And then Thursday, a big day for you and for the Pope and the Queen. So she actually flew in and back to the UK, London, on the same day. She'd been invited last year by Italian President Giorgio Napolitano to come for a visit. Yes, indeed, 87. To come for a visit and to have lunch, and she had accepted. Then a flu overtook her, and she had to cancel that particular engagement. And so they reworked that to happen this year. So she flew in, had lunch at the Quirinale, a very impressive event when you see all the Quirinale guards. I think they're the tallest men in Italy. Then about 3:20, her motorcade.
She was late and apologized to the Pope.
Her first words to the Pope were she was sorry she was late. But it was cute the way she said it. I'm so sorry I'm late, but I was having lunch with the president. Can you imagine you and I saying to someone, I'm so sorry I was late, but I was having lunch with Pope Francis.
I was having a good time.
Yeah, having a great time. And so then they got to the Vatican, she and her husband, Prince Philip, and a small entourage. And it was very interesting. It was a very low-key visit. Nothing in the Apostolic Palace. It would have taken her just 20 minutes to go through all the procedures to get up to the fancier rooms. So they met in two rooms, actually, the papal study and another small room off of the Paul VI hall and audience hall. And the amazing gifts they exchanged, hers in particular.
Well, she brought a hamper from her various estates, and she pointed to all the produce. And she even had eggs in the basket and honey. And, of course, Prince Philip dug out the whiskey.
And that was the most photographed item of the, this hamper was huge. You could have hid three people inside of it. It was immense. And then the Pope gave her a lovely gift, two lovely gifts, but I loved the one for eight-month-old Prince George.
Yeah, she said, thank you. The prince will love this present. And maybe when he's a little older, she added.
But a sphere,
sphere, which was connected to St. Edward the Confessor. So it was a kind of ecumenical gesture.
Yes. And there was an event earlier in the day, which was fairly important. There were a lot of events. I mean, Thursday, the Pope had a mass at the Santa Ana, an audience with the bishops of Rwanda, and he's meeting bishops as we are talking now. He had an audience with Cardinal Omato for the promulgation of decrees for the causes of saints, which I'll bring up. Another audience with the Prime Minister of the Republic of Cape Verde. Telegram for the victims of the earthquake in Chile. He, of course, wrote a daily tweet, and then the afternoon visit with the Queen. So it's like, oh, you know, catch your breath after this. But interestingly enough, in the morning, when he met Cardinal Angelo Omato, who is the prefect of the Congregation for Saints, for the Causes of Saints, the Holy Father named three new saints without the canonical process, like he's going to do for John Paul and John the 23rd. This is called an equivalent canonization. So he named François de Laval, a French bishop, the first bishop of Quebec, Canada, and José de Anchieta, a Spanish priest, Maria de la Encarnacion, French. These three today now are saints. They may be venerated in the Universal Church. And this equivalent canonization process means that the Pope waives the usual judicial process and declares that a blessed liturgical cult be extended to the Universal Church. So up until yesterday morning, these three people were blessed. And now with the stroke of a pen, the Holy Father, this is allowed, obviously, the Holy Father created them as saints without going through the whole process of a second miracle, proving this, proving that, a group of doctors, theologians, etc., looking at this person's life and the miracle. So, and we must state that Pope Francis did this for the canonization of an Italian, Angela Foligno, in October of last year, and also Peter Faber on his Pope Jesuit. On his the Pope's very birthday of December 17th. So, and then audiences like this, they have them several times a year. I think it's three times a year that the Pope meets the head of the congregation, causes come up for miracles or heroic virtues, the various different steps one must take. You go from venerable to servant of God to blessed to saint. And then there's a lot of things in those steps, and the Pope merely jumped over a few of those processes. So we have three new saints this week. And two in coming weeks, which we're getting ready for.
You were listening there to Joan Knows, presented by Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.